Yeah, we had covered more or less all of the shilas regarding the gear of adult people, and now I'm going to talk a little bit to be mamshich the gear of children. The ability to be madayer a katan or a katana is based on Gemara and Ksuvas that says a gear katan matbilin isai al das beistin. Now, why do we need a svar of al das beistin? I mean, l'chaira, the kid is undergoing mila and tefila. So l'chayr, the al-das beistin must be a substitute for kabbalas mitzvot, right? Geiris normally has three elements, or two for a woman. There is mila, there is tefila, there's kabbalas mitzvot. A katan, certainly a baby, and even a 12-year-old, is not a bar das, is not capable of being makabal mitzvot. So essentially, the beistin is able to bring him into Klal Yisrael under the principle, the Gemara says in Ksuvos Rav Huna, called Zochin Liadam Shalai Bafanav. Right? There's a din of Zochin Liadam Shalai Bafanav. But because, what is the Sechus? That it's a Sechus to be a Jew. Better to be a Jew than to be a Goy. We'll discuss if that always is going to be the case. So al Zochin Liadam Shalai Bafanav, we can do a Geiris on a katan, and this is called al-das beistin. But the Gemara says there's a big nafgamina that since it is not his own Kabbalah, it's only because of zochin liadam shalai b'fanav, when he becomes a gadol, he is able to be mocha. A stam ger, once you're megayer, it's a one-way street. A ger cannot get out of being a ger by not being from later. If it's a goy milsa l'mafreya, you know, we discussed that, but if it's tamazai, if he simply decides later he doesn't want, then avada he can't do that. Yeah.
Is there a minimum age that you can do this?
Well, he only has one day to do it. It's the day of his 13th birthday.
No, I'm talking about
it could be right after birth. There's no minimum age.
So there's no, I mean, obviously, no. Practically you couldn't go to the mikveh. So.
No, you would be surprised. The truth of the matter is, people can be megayer, can be tibble babies right after birth. It's actually not a problem.
Not right after birth.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's the other way around. Parents are sometimes afraid of this. But when parents adopt non-Jewish children, so they generally want to convert them as soon as possible, al das beistin. And you have to have a bris first. That's the halacha, that the seder of geiris is normally mila and then tefila. But the truth of the matter is, even the bris of a ger doesn't have to be 8 days. But they typically wait 8 days. But you can be tibul a baby immediately. Now, I don't mean you throw the baby in the water. The father goes into the mikveh with the baby. The baby is draped over the father's arms, face down, like a holding like a blanket. The father lowers his arms, the baby's face hits the water, you know, face first. And it's very, very pleasant. It's very interesting that... No. There's a reason for this. The dafka has to be this way. That newborn babies have a swimming reflex. And when their face hits the water, they automatically hold their breath. And they even do the dog paddle. It's very cute. They do that. Now, they lose that swimming reflex at around 6 months. So it's not dangerous even then. They just swallow a little water. But if you want to do a geiris on a baby, it is better to do it less than 6 months than after 6 months. After 6 months, they may swallow a little water. Before 6 months, they hold their breath perfectly, and they even do a little swim, because remember, they remember the umbilical, you know, the amniotic fluid in the womb. It's like the good old days. Now, if you're going to say, the baby's going to cry, that's true. He does cry. But the reason the baby cries when he's taken out of the water is because of the change of temperature. The mikveh is warmer than the air around it. So the baby is cold, so you wrap him up very quickly.
Immersion in the water?
Huh?
Doesn't it be fully immersed in the water?
Yeah, he does.
The fact that the father's arms are not a chassid.
It's not a chassid, because the water, number one, the water goes through it, but what the father should do is he should wet his arms. He should put his arms in the mikveh before he takes the baby. Once his arms are wet, the water of his arms are mechaber with the waters of the mikveh, and it's not a chatzitza.
Why the father?
Why the father? Well, it could be the mother too, but again, the issue would be primarily tznius, meaning. I'll talk about this briefly. I mean, there's always a certain awkwardness. Some we have to do it when a woman, goes to the mikveh. So if the woman doesn't have to do it, have the father do it. You know, it's better to have the father do it. If the mother does it,
why does that have to be one of the parents too?
It doesn't. It could be anybody, but the parents are there, are bringing the baby. You know, the truth is, Aldas Beistin. It's not Aldas parents. It's Aldas Beistin.
I'm saying, in theory, they don't have to be in a dress when they go into the mikvah. Right?
No, they don't. They don't. They don't. The woman can go in with her clothes, so can the man. But usually, if you ask me, lemaisa, what is usually done is the man will usually come in wearing a bathing suit or shorts, but he may wear a shirt or a t-shirt. He doesn't have to expose his chest or anything. So with a woman, whatever it is, there's no reason to get involved in potential issues. I'll talk about a woman going to the mikveh shortly, just
you know. Have you had any of these cases?
Oh yeah, quite a few, including my own son, among other things. But I have other many cases, quite a few. Yeah. So this is an important thing to be aware of. So going to the mikveh is not a problem, but there is a din of higdilu yichaylum limchais. Now, higdilu, meaning once the child is a gadol, he has a kayach of being maicha. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says in Ksuvus, this is all the Gemara in Ksuvus. The Gemara says in Ksuvus that, see, a lot of people make a mistake. A lot of people have heard of this halacha, but they will say that a child has to reconvert when he becomes bar mitzvah. That's not emes. He doesn't have to reconvert. The pshat is, if he's not maicha, the geirus is chal mimela. If he doesn't say, I don't want, the geirus is chal mimela. Okay, he doesn't have to reconvert. And the Gemara says he literally only has one day. The day of his 13th birthday, he has a kayach of macha. If he's not maicha on the day of his 13th birthday, or 12th birthday in the case of a girl, they're stuck.
I'm
aware of the shaila, so I'll address them. Now the question is this. That's why I always tell parents that don't be too tough on your adopted child before their bar mitzvah, because they could pull a fast one on you. The day before the bar mitzvah, they could just decide no. Now, b'derech klal, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, a very important tshuva, that the idea that if you weren't maicha on your 13th birthday, your makabel is only shayach if you knew you were, number one, at a geiris, you knew you were converted, and you know the halacha that you have a right to be mocha. If you're not aware that you have a right to be mocha, Rav Moshe says, your failure to be mocha cannot be seen as acquiescence or consent, because you didn't know. So, Rav Moshe, if you find out, if a ger katan finds out at 45 or 50, it's like Yom Shama. The day that he finds out, he has the koach to be moche l'mafreya and the like. Now, that's a little tricky. Rav Moshe is not clear. Is this a meyes? What do we mean by a day? Do we mean Yom Shama? I mean, do we mean like the day ends Shkia? So if he finds out, 1 minute before Shkia, he only has 1 minute to make a decision? Or is it a Meis Lies? Is it 24 hours? It's not so borrowed. But it's a rare case. Basically, I'm not aware of... I know one case where somebody wanted to be Mecha. It was too late already. It was very, very interesting. This was a very frum kid. A frum kid who underwent, whose parents were Russian, and the mother converted after he was born, and the child was converted. And they were, the parents were not that frum, actually. The son was more frum than the parents. The son went to yeshiva, the son was very, very frum. But he was a bit of an anxious person. He decided that being a Jew was too burdensome. There are too many things you could do wrong. And when he learned the din in the Rambam, that goyim that keep the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach l'shem shamayim have a chelik in olam haba, he had this reasoning. So why should I be a Jew and have to keep 613 mitzvahs or whatever mitzvahs we keep today, and do things wrong, and every Shabbos I have to worry about maybe I was mechalel Shabbos? Let me be mocha on my geiris. I'll be a goy, And as a guy, I'll get Olam Haba through the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach. So he told his parents he didn't want to be a Jew anymore. His parents were somewhat Shomer Shabbos, not totally from, but they just thought this was the craziest. They called me up. They thought this was the craziest thing. This was insanity. You know, what do you mean you don't want to be a Jew? I mean, you know, you've been a Jew since you were born. You know, went to the mikvah. So I was trying to talk him out of it. I mean, the truth of the matter is, unfortunately for him, it was too late. I mean, he knew the din of Mecha. He just didn't come to the conclusion he wanted to be Mecha till later. So at that point, you know, you can't really change your mind. I don't know what happened to him. I mean, that was the only psychological situation I had. But Rav Chaim Eiser has a very interesting psak on this, and this is very nogel v'maisa. What does it mean to say I'm Mocha? For example, let's imagine you have a kid that was converted as a child, or as a baby, child or a baby, it makes no difference. And then, by the time he's 12, and even before his bar mitzvah, he proverbially goes off the derech. He stops keeping mitzvahs. He's mechalel Shabbos. He eats treif. Is that called a mecha? Is that called a declaration that I don't want to be Jewish? So Rav Chaim Eiser is mechalek between a refusal to keep mitzvos and a declaration I don't want to be Jewish. Rav Chaim Eiser says, as long as the kid says, if he'd be put to the choice, I want to be a Jew, even if he's not observant, even if he doesn't keep the Torah. See, in other words, we don't go with the Svara, if he doesn't keep the Torah, mimela, that is a mecha, he doesn't want to be Jewish. Heather? Now, if he says, I don't want to be Jewish, I want to be a Christian, I want to be an atheist, I want to be a Muslim, Rahman al-Islam, we even have that meshugas. That's a mecha. But if somebody says, I don't want to be Orthodox, even if he says it, I don't want to be Orthodox, I don't want to be Shomer Mitzvahs, Rav Chaim Eiser said, that is not a mecha. And that, because after all, many conservative Reform Jews, who might be very antagonistic even to Shmiras HaMitzvos, they still say, I want to be a member of Klal Yisrael. You know, Israel is my country, etc. So that's an important nekuda, the Rav Chaim Eiser's mechalek. Remember, just to remind you, this is the second, actually this is not a kula, this is a chumrah, but this is the second interesting chiluk Rav Chaim Eiser made. Remember, Rav Chaim Eiser was the one that was mechadesh, the chiluk, between Kabbalah's mitzvahs and Shemira's mitzvahs. That Rav Chaim Eiser said that if a ger acknowledges that the Torah is binding, even if he's not going to keep it, b'di'eved, that blives a Kabbalah's mitzvah. That's a leniency in Hilchos Geiris. And here, this is not a leniency because this is really stopping the guy from being Meicha, but here, essentially, we also have a kind of kula in what is called part of Klal Yisrael, and this is even more. Even if he doesn't believe in the mitzvahs at all, if he still wants to have a shaychus to Klal Yisrael, that's not called a mecha. Right? So that's very nogeya. So the kids at risk, even if they start their behavior before bar mitzvah, that is not considered to be a getter of a mecha. Yeah.
What's his halachic status before bar mitzvah? So
the Rishonim and Ksuba say that even though logically you would think that the Gior is totally V'Ibed, and therefore it's a suffix, right? Because if he's Meicha, he's Iker the Geiris L'mafreya. So L'mashal, how if God forbid he needs to go to the hospital, how could I be Mechal Shabbos for him? Maybe he's a guy, right? Because maybe he'll be Meicha, etc. So the Rishonim already say that you can go Basar Rov, that since most of the Geirim Ketanim are not going to renounce, so als the din of Rov, you can be Machzikim as Yisrael B'Tayras Vadai, and not B'Tayras Sufek. So for example, well, a minion is not a Geir, because by the time he's counted for a minion,
Shabbos.
Yeah, but, huh?
keep Shabbos.
Yeah, not only can he keep Shabbos, but you are mechuyev to be mechanechem and keeping Shabbos. He does not blab. Right, he doesn't blab Goyisha Shabbos because he's not even a suffek Goyisha Shabbos. Because you go Basar Rov. You go Basar Rov. And Basar Rov,
your Macha makes him answer Goyisha Shabbos in the Freya, but that's...
No, that's true. Okay, well, that's a problem. So he said that might be a reason to advise him not to be Mocha. He said, oh, look at all those Shabbos. Look at all those Shabbos that you kept. You're in trouble. Better be a Jew. You want to get out of it because you think it's harder. No, you're Chayav Bisul of Freya. Okay, that's an interesting selling point. I should have used it with that guy, but okay. But as I say, the anchor question is that parents can be Mechal Shabbos. This is actually a very important child. This is why when parents adopt a non-Jewish child, theoretically, see, it's interesting, theoretically, there is no, I mean, I can adopt a non-Jewish child and keep him a non-Jew. I can have my Shabbos going in the house. There is no chiyuv per se that I got to convert the child I adopt. Right? And there would be some conveniences with that even. But you know, invariably, you know, I mean, 100% of the time, if you're a Yiddish family, you want to adopt a child, you want to raise the child Jewish, right? That's what you want to do. So it is halachically important that you do the geiris, if you're able to, as soon as possible. Because primarily, again, if chas v'shalom, the child needs medical treatment on Shabbos, if he is a goy, if there's no geiris, it is halachically very, very difficult to allow open Chilul Shabbos. Now, you can call a cab, you can do Amira Liakum, but you wouldn't be able, if God forbid, I mean, again, if God forbid, the adopted child needed some emergency surgery and you would have to drive him to the hospital, to be over on a Malacha the Araisa for the Bikuach Nefesh of a Goy, is very, very problematical. It's very problematical. And therefore, it's better to have the geiris as soon as possible. And even though you're correct, it's technically a suffek geiris, because nigdilu yachol limchais. But as I say, we go Basar Rov that he's not going to be mocha. Now, it used to be in the 1950s, real long time ago, there used to be a general policy in secular society that adopted children were not told that they were adopted. Somehow, they would be fooled. And, you know, this raised all sorts of problems. I think we talked about it. I don't want to go over all the laws of adoption. I think we talked about it, that the big machlokas about yichud and negiah. Did we talk about that? Okay, so I don't want to repeat that discussion. But according to the vast majority of paiskim, the laws of yichud and negiah at the appropriate ages, I don't mean when they're babies, but whatever the age is, do kick in between parents and adopted children. The Yotze Min HaKlal was the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Oldenburg, who actually took the position that if you adopt a child below 1 year, so you raised him from infancy, from babyhood, so to speak, then there's no Isser of Yichud or Nekiah, because the heter of a father and a daughter and a mother and a son is not based on biological keter, it's based on the fact that the Yetzer Hara is not Shailate, and that which, you know, is someone that you raised from infancy. So the Tzitz Eliezer is a Das Yochid, and he himself says that he's giving his kula only b'shas hatzchak because of the heartbreak of parents and who would not be able to show affection. So he matgered b'kaishi, but he did give such a heter. But as they say, most poskim don't, so I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do. But as I say, certainly in America, maybe most outside of Hasidim, most do follow the Tzitz Eliezer. I mean, maybe they don't ask the Shaila, maybe that's why they follow it, but they do what Rav Oldenburg permitted. But even like Rav Oldenburg, keep in mind, he did have a gavul. The adoption had to be before the child was a year old. Sometimes people adopt children older. Sometimes if there are, let's say, autistic children or whatever, they might be adopted at, you know, 5 years old or something. And then you have serious shilas taka, where the chulayalma, I don't mean when they're five, but at whatever age it kicks in, there will be the demon of yichud and the gear. Yeah.
That still applies to a child who's completely disabled across the board?
Well, that's an interesting shaila. Meaning, if someone is it depends between severely disabled. I mean, one example would be someone is literally paralyzed, So if we're paralyzed, that's interesting. Some poskim do permit chibuk and nishuk to a paralyzed person. Even if it's not your child, anybody, any nurse or whatever it is. On the other hand, keep in mind that if when you say by disabled, you mean very severely mentally retarded, that would not be a heter, because number one, unfortunately, zunus is shayach from both studim, meaning to say, and this actually happens, there are people that are mezane with severely retarded people, and le'idach gisa, sometimes a severely retarded person might have sexual urges in which he might rape somebody. So it depends what you mean by disabled. If there's literally the physical impossibility of bia, then ain't a chinami. Some poskim do permit, but mental retardation wouldn't be. I mean, now if somebody's in a coma, that's another shayla. There's a shayla. If someone is totally in a coma, they're totally unconscious. Are there iserim of yichud or negia? Again, some poskim are matur. Some other poskim say there's a low plug in those types of inyonim. Okay, so
is
now,
yeah. Do you know all of Kabbalah's mitzvahs for Ger Katan?
Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. There is a fundamental machlokas here. Obviously, the missing part of the missing piece in Ger Katan is Kabbalah's mitzvahs, right? That's our problem. That's why we need the idea of Zochin Liyodim Shaloi Bafanev. So the big practical question, and again, if you're going to be involved, oh, by the way, let me just mention one other thing. The Agav, but it's unfortunately something that will become more and more prevalent, Baba Nisenu HaRabim, you know, Avera Gereris Avera. And as Pritzus gets worse and worse and worse, the boundary keeps on changing, meaning to say, 15 years ago, homosexuality was, a bad thing in society, etc. And now, not only is it legamri mutter, but the Supreme Court even said that the individual states of the United States have to allow, not may allow, have to allow homosexual marriage. So it's not even, so in terms of society, that's not even a shaila anymore. So now, the new gavul is sex changes. Now, this is not a totally new, it's not a totally new procedure, but it's been around a while. But now, there's this idea called transgender. And we're not talking about what do you do for a tumtum and androgynous. That's a separate issue. That is a very, very serious halachic issue. Are you allowed, if a child is born hermaphrodite? We'll talk about both things, just so you'll just be kisser, so you'll know the general idea. But here we're talking about real boys who want to become real girls, or real girls who want to become real boys. Not that you should follow these things, but there was a very, very famous Olympic athlete who won gold medals, etc., and he wanted to become a woman. He became a woman. In fact, there was a professor in YU, it was a big machlek. I mean, the Rosh Hashivas weren't too happy with this. An English professor finished the semester as a man and came back the next semester as a woman. And, so there's some shayla about, should Yeshiva University have such faculty? Now, there's even a sefer on this whole inyan. It's called Dor Tapucha. It's very, very good title. Good title, if nothing else. But it's a good sefer, actually. So let me just explain. And unfortunately, people that I know have
that. Dor as in generation?
Yeah, a generation that's topsy-turvy, tapuchas. It's from Hazinu, Dor Tapuchas thing. So let me just tell you the shayla. Let's talk about it first in terms of a boy who wants to become a girl. There are really two separate nikudos that have to be asked. One is the procedure itself permissible to do? Can you have such a procedure? So it's a davar pashut that such a procedure is vaday in Isser D'oraisa, because it involves explicit sirus, right? The Torah prohibits castration. Not only does it prohibit castration of humans, it prohibits castration of even animals. If you have a dog, you're going to ask a shayla, how do you get the dog spayed or neutered and the like?
Let's say the dog wants to become a woman.
Okay, that would be good. Yeah. So by definition, converting a man into a woman, at a minimum, involves a sirus. Now, You can fetch around, it may be, because analytically, who is over on the love of Siris? It's interesting. One might say, Svara, that the one that is transgressing is actually the doctor. It's the Mesaris. It's not the... In other words, the patient who's mamsi themselves for Siris is lav dafka over on the lav. The lav would be the doctor. Now, is it lifneiver, misayaya? Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. So according to the Rambam, that's a machlekes rishayim. So according to the Rambam, bnei noyach are nitztava ala Siris. So memela, for me to be mamsi myself, to be masuris by a goy, would be lifneiver. On the other hand, the interesting hara, I'm just throwing this out as a thought experiment, don't quote me on this, is that if you hold like the Shitas, that a goy is not nitztava and siris, and the Yisrael is mamtzi himself to a goy to be mesarisim, it's not so pashut that anybody's over on the lav, because mitzad the goy it's mutter, mitzad the Yisrael he's not doing the maisa of siris. He's not over on lifnei iver because the guy is not in its top, so it can't be misayaya either. Right? So, but whatever the technicalities are, it's a davar pasha. Number one, we paskin like the Rambam that a guy is mitzav on siris. Mimela, it's as l'chol pachas lifnei iver. So there would be no lemaisa to cancer. Now again, we're not talking for pikuach nefesh. If God forbid, there's a testicular cancer. If God forbid there is prostate cancer, you know, that pikuach nefesh, so it's mutter. But even then, you got a big shayla. Even if, so Siris is an isser, but that's nitcha for pikuach nefesh. Okay. But, even when it's mutter, the question is, could such a person get married? He would be a patsua daka. See, the heter. I'm not talking about a section. I'm talking about, say, a man that first had the testicular surgery to remove because of cancer. He's still a man. So the question is he a Petsua Daka? Now that's a very chomer de gezach, because a Petsua Daka is Pesule Kahal. He's not allowed to marry, and if he's already married, it would have to be a Gerushin. He could only marry a Gioris. So here, Rav Paiskim do matter, and the truth of the matter is this: it seems to be a daitik svara, but they matter mikaishi ha'inyan. And Rav Moshe says the following: Rav Moshe says like this, the Gemara in Yevamos, if you learned Daf Yomi, if you maybe you learned the sugya, the Gemara in Yevamos is mechalek, and it says the only type of petsua daka that is forbidden to marry into Klal Yisrael is a petsua daka bidei adam. Right, he was castrated. But a petsua daka bidei shamayim, let's say he was born without the beitzim, is allowed. Well, that's in the Gemara. So says Rav Moshe, if a surgeon had to remove the testicle because of a chayli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the person, that is called bidei, even though it's a surgeon who removed it. You would think a surgeon is fine, bidei adam. But if the siba for the removal is a chayli, that is called bidei shamayim and not bidei adam. And at least when the person is already married, we allow that, we allow him to stay married. Now, Shlomo Zalman didn't like that hetzer that much. But it's funny, nobody wanted to ask her. He just says he's mefakbek, but... You could be Samech and Rav Moshe. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, the head of the Eda Charedes, said that he sees such a svara, but he's Yirei HaHaira. He was afraid to paskin. Rav Moshe paskin. All right, again, if God forbid, one has these difficult shaylas, one should ask. So two problems with the surgery, going back to the gender reassignment. Is number one Siris, number two Petsua Daka, but the third, which is really the most important shayla.
Is it common Petsua Daka, or just he's going to be stuck? Mostly people just think.
No. There's no. I mean, the issur of becoming a Petsua Daka is just the issur of Siris.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no.
This guy's not staying married to his wife.
Huh?
I mean, this guy is not staying married to his wife.
No, that's correct. That's correct. So that's really the question. I really, in a way, the big question is. The big question is, Good. The operation may be mutter, may be usher. Maybe yes, maybe not. But it's done. And the hormones are done. And now the guy looks like a woman.
Mama's developed.
Yeah. You know, you can.
Nah, you can tell.
If you know the if you know the history, you can tell. But if you wouldn't, I'm not sure you can tell. Now, the thing is this. So, what is the status achar hamaisa? Does the man turn into a woman or not? Does he put on she, whatever you call it? So this is a very big. This is a very big machlekes. This is really very, very crucial.
Who is he and he is she?
Yeah. Right. So most poskim, Rav Bleicher summarizes this. Most poskim actually say halacha does not recognize the possibility of changing yourself. You did a maisa siris. So what? Meaning, if you were born with the simanim of a zohar, you are a zohar, even if, you know, inside they made you up into a nekeva and everything
still
else.
Still on nekeva, she
can't have kids. That's
she can't have kids.
Mind's a man's mind.
Well, the mind, okay, that's a tricky thing. I'm bringing in Rav Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer says the following. This is just the Derech Agav of his Hetzer on. He has a number of controversial psukim. One was his Hetzer of Yichud and Negiah on adoption. Again, just doing Agav the Agav, but just for your idea, is the other is that he does have the B'dieved recognition of a change of gender in sex assignment surgery. Meaning he actually says that the man can be nisapich into a woman through the hormonal changes. Huh? Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Waldenberg.
No.
Again, let me emphasize. Avad is usher to do. He's not saying he's much to do.
What if she sleeps with a man after gender resonance?
She can be matched. It is not Mishkav Zachar. She is able to have kedushin with a man.
All of this is putter. This is she's my girl.
That's correct. According to Rav Waldenberg, she is putter. She is putter. Now this is a das yochid. This is a das yochid.
Huh?
Yeah, that should be an islandess. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. It's not sure. They haven't invented a way. So far. Yeah, I'm not sure what they. Yeah, I mean, eventually they'll probably do something with that too, but right now she cannot have children. But Rav Waldenberg says she's in a keva.
What's the definition of a keva according to Rav Waldenberg?
Well, she has. They put in. They artificially construct the avarim of a keva. I mean, it's not capable.
So it's like halfway done. Like a half a
zone. Yeah. So the question is when do you become? Yeah. So at some point, the zohar may become an androgynous. In other words, you may go from zohar to androgynous to nekeva. Yeah. Now the reason why I bring this up because I will tell you that as bizarre as this sounds, it's not gigantic, Baruch Hashem, but who knows. But this is a surprisingly growing movement in the world. There are more than you might imagine, and you know it's not min hanimna that you will be facing in a shul or whatever it is. This shaila, I mean, people that I know just informed me that their grandson, who's like 17, for the past 18 months has been cross-dressing and. The parents moved him to a conservative school where there are four other kids who are doing the same thing, and the Mela he'll be more comfortable. Yeah, it's So
what should the attitude be towards these people? Well, why are they doing this?
Well, okay, you know, here is the thing. It's a very, very difficult question. I mean, the problem basically is that in every person there are male and female attributes. Right? Within every neshama, right? Elamai, but a male has a predominantly male orientation with certain natias, and a woman is predominantly female. But sometimes it's kind of a psychological condition, maybe it's a hormonal condition even, a physical condition, where the she'ifas are misplaced, so to speak. Now, one would think, this is the outlaw of a society, because it is a problem, and again, I'm not going to be mezalzel in the pain and the confusion that kids can have. It can be a real confusion. A big agmas nefesh, and it can cause suicide also. It is a serious problem. But here is the thing. when society puts a heksher on certain things, then people no longer have to bother to try to look at the other ways you could deal with the problem. In other words, if a kid, a boy simply says, I want to be a girl, so now society, okay, we'll let you
be. They give a green light.
Yeah, we'll turn you into a girl. As opposed to saying, no, let's understand what's going on and let's see if we could be misogynist. So once, same thing with gay. Instead of saying, let's try to be misogynist, say, okay, go ahead, it's fine. There's nothing to be misogynist, it's fine. So this is mamish where society, by redefining the standard. So again, you have to be sensitive to the Atma Snappers. This is, when these situations exist, it is a very, very, very serious thing. As I say, a kid can sometimes kill himself over
it. The person's a big nebuch. He's not like...
Huh?
I'm discussing now the terribleness of the idea that society's turning into a normal thing as an acceptance.
Yeah.
But the person himself is not necessarily a bad person.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's a confused person or a tormented person, a suffering person. So we have to be metapel. We have to figure out ways.
It's not encouraged. Even if someone's going through such a situation, you don't encourage him.
No, we encourage him to go to a therapist, hopefully a firm therapist or a therapist who will not just push this and try to work it out, you know. But as I'm saying, just like with gay, you know, it's today in general society, somebody's gay. That's not even a problem that you go to a therapist for. What's the problem? There's no problem. And Memela, you know, so in effect, that takes away the ability to be Matabo Baruch Hatayra in a whole bunch of issues.
And I feel it's an appropriate time to bring it up because
yeah.
We're talking about it. It's embarrassing to say, but I have a cousin yeah. who is who turned into a man, but still had a baby.
Had a baby after he turned into a man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a mice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, no, she kind of kept the female organs on the whole time.
Yeah.
Huh.
They're mice.
Did he want that to happen? Or
yeah,
that was like an accident.
Okay.
Yeah, the world is really falling apart. Yeah, this is mamish. Ki hishchis kol basar estarkei al haaretz, that the most basic inyanim are being mushkis legamri. But all I'm saying is, I mean, I told you, although I made a little joke here, because here's the shaila like this. I say, you know, they took their, not the, this grandson of people I know, they sent him to a conservative school. So l'chaira, there's a big machloikas, if he turns into a woman, is he chayev to wear tefillin? So maybe the Ashkacha practice is kavaldic, that he goes to a conservative school, because there, even if he's a woman, he can wear tefillin. So Mimele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of working everything. Okay, I shouldn't joke about it, but you know, everything works out, you know? Okay, alright. Yeah.
My question was, you know, how should one interact with such a person?
Listen, on the level of yechidim, on the level of individuals, you know, this is a totally improper decision, a totally wrong decision. Good, Nebuch, he's sick. He's sick. He's troubled. You can deal with the person with rahmanas, compassion, derech eretz. You don't have to. I mean, there's no point really in screaming at him because him, her, whatever it is, because he made such a decision.
Okay. You know, it was a woman who turned into a man.
She had
a baby.
You know, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. So I don't know if it's a he or
if
she.
If you've gone your way, you could have a cesarean.
Tamara doesn't have a case by a androgynous self-impregnated.
Yeah, an androgynous. Yeah. Now, let me just point out there is a related issue which is very serious. This is a very serious issue, and that is, there are children that are born androgynous. Androgynous does exist. They're called hermaphrodites. Androgynous. Those are children that are born with both the Evare Zachar and the Evare Nekeva. And in fact, in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins Hospital, which is a very world-famous hospital, has the U.S.'s best, or you know, what's called sex reassignment clinic. They're the ones who specialize in this surgery. Now here, but this is an important thing. What do? You have an androgynous. You raise them as an androgynous. What are you supposed to do? So, that can create tremendous tremendous tensions. Is he a boy? Is he a girl? What do I raise him? So here the Paiskim have Matir. The Paiskim do Matir.
Which one do you
do? So which one? They do Matir changing him to a definite min, and they consider that to be a valid change. Because unlike the Zohar, in which there was a Kavias Bishas Leda, an Adraganus is not called a Kavias Bishas Leda, and therefore it's Shayech to be Masakin. The only question is, in which direction? So I will tell you that I believe that the medical preference is to make them women. This is the medical preference, because it's easier to make them women, because that's being masalic as opposed to man. They'd have to be maisif, so to speak, and therefore it's easier to take away than it is to add. That may be a serious shaila, because the reason is like this: if an andragonist might be a suffix, zachar, suffix, nekeva, it may be your mechuyev to be masakin him in the direction of a zachar, because otherwise you're taking your mafkia him from the mitzvah of a zachar. So that would be a shaila. But Paiskim are mitzvah, and on the other hand, they say, well, maybe an andragonist doesn't have a kavias, and therefore, even if he's a suffix zachar until you're kaveya, but once you're kaveya, he can become either a vadai zachar or a vadai nekeva.
Why wouldn't it be serious?
Huh?
Who is serious?
So they say it's not serious. No, there's let it be suffix serious. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, they say that if it's in order to give him the status of a zohar in the cave, he says that's not a maisa serious. It's not to destroy. First of all, Chazal paskin, we paskin anyway, and a dragoness cannot be mailed. We actually paskin that way. So memela to be mashkes evore haylada. If someone is not right, lahaylid is not serious. That's another thing. In fact, that's a whole other thing. That if somebody is infertile, some say there's no issue of serious.
From women to man, is that
Women to man is a shadow like this, because women to man, if they remove the female organs, which sometimes they don't do, but if they remove the female organs, that is serious. But many rishonim say serious nekeva is only midrabanan. It's missing midrabanan. They say the daraisa is sirus zachor, sirus nekeva is drabanan, so it's still drabanan.
Does Tereza also recognize the change there? Do you
also? L'chaira, based on his far, I think, yeah, I think the answer would be yeah. I think it would go in both directions. L'chaira, he just says the biology, the new biology is koveya, the identity. Yeah. Yeah, so
I mean, you should relate to them in a respectful way, or
I think generally speaking, you try to relate to people. I mean, this is a sickness. People who do this have sickness. Now society tells them it's not sick, so therefore they don't think of themselves as sick. But they are sick. This is not normal. So mainly, you know, you have Rachmanis on them. You know, you don't have to be mazalzel on them.
Is there any time, if any medical issue that can cause, let's say, a zachar and a half, his organs removed, turns him into androgynous?
No? I'm going to have to check. I don't think.
Well, it can be really again. Like, people just turning into not zachars anymore as soon as they have things removed.
No, serous alone, in other words, serous alone does not make a man into an androgynous or a nekeva. It's also a combination of the hormones and the chemicals that even physically there are breasts and all those different things. It has to look like in the cave as well, internally and externally. If it's simply lacking a varei halada of a zachar, that does not make you an adreganist.
This is really interesting, defining a zachar by the physical, the external physical characteristics of how it looks.
Yep.
Not even if it's right to be a melod or anything.
That's correct.
So once that's the standard, then if it's missing anything, it's something in between. It should be androgynous. It's not a zachar.
Not quite. There is a concept of a zachar that's a balmum. I mean, in other words, there's the full zachar, and then there's a zachar that's a balmum. But the zachar that's a balmum is not an androgynous. It's just a zachar that's a balmum.
I don't understand why, according to Tzitz Eliezer, what makes a zachar, what makes in the cave, is not there. So it's not either.
Well, it, It's the overall surah, meaning to say, you look at the person, is he a zachar? I mean, if someone is missing an aver, I can still say he's a zachar who's missing an aver. In other words, if you look at the person, you look at the whole person's body under an X-ray, you know, does it look like a zachar? Does it look like an aver? It's an overall surah. But again, as I say, most poskim don't say that, and that creates enormous halachic problems, if God forbid you had such a situation, because is there an isra yichud if a woman turns into a man, but halachically she's still a woman? So could a man have yichud with that man? You know, the whole thing doesn't make sense. I mean, what side?
How do you end up having relations if it's now a man? You don't have relations with a man.
That's correct. It would be mishkav zachar. It would be mishkav zachar. Yeah, that's correct. What side of the? Okay, whatever. There's going to be all sorts of crazy shows. What side of the machitza? What bathroom do they? Okay. All right. But as I say, I only mention this because the maisa, it's going to be, unfortunately, a little bit Nogea L'maisa. But now, let me just begin again. I'm going to have to carry over a little Garris next week again. But what I want to talk about is this big Yisayid. That is, you asked a question, or someone asked a question, do you need Kabbalah's mitzvahs for Ger Katan? So this is going to be a fundamental machlokes. And every rabbi in the United States, at least if you're in modern Orthodox kehilas, is going to face this question about couples who are not so Shomer Shabbos, or marginally from, or conservadox, which is a term that we have, and they adopt a child, and they know that the state of Israel doesn't recognize non-Orthodox conversions, although they don't recognize Orthodox conversions either, and they say, I want a conversion that is recognized by the state of Israel, even though they're not planning an Aliyah, but that's what they say. And they ask an Orthodox rabbi to do a conversion. Now, the parents themselves are not from. Let's say they're not from. Can there still... Now, so certainly if we have to convert them, we wouldn't. They're not Mekabel Mitzvahs. Is it Shayach, a Ger Katan, without Kabbalah Mitzvahs? Now, there are two different parts to this Shaila. Part one is, should we do the Geiris? Part two is, would the geirus be chal if we did it? Or maybe you can reverse it. Meaning, one is the etzem geirus itself valid? And number two, even if it is valid, maybe it's not a good idea to do. So there's
because
a big
because the parents are not going
to because the parents aren't going to raise, aren't going to be mechanech. So there's a big machlokas. There are some poskim that say that if the Gemara makes a categorical statement, Zochin li adam shalai b'fanav, that being a yid is a zechus, we treat yadus as a zechus gomor, and therefore this allows us to be machnis the tinaich into Klal Yisrael, even if he's going to be raised in a totally non-religious environment, because zochin li adam shalai b'fanav is a substitute for the inyan of Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and there are some rabbis, minority, who follow that rule, and they say they will do a geris katan, and they say, who knows, the kid may, this way, at least if he's a Jew, he may be zeicha to become a Baal Tshuva, come Dor Sameach, whatever it would be. Now Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva, where Rav Moshe basically said that the Svora of Zochin Li'adam Shaloi B'fanav is Shayach only when there's an umdana, that the child will be raised in an environment of Torah and mitzvahs. And the reason Rav Moshe says is like this. He says, yeah, we're not denying that it might be a wonderful thing for somebody to become a Jew, even if they're raised not from, because there's the chance of tshuva and ma'asim tovim. But that's not enough to say Zachin Li'adam Shlo. Zachin Li'adam Shlo B'fanav doesn't mean if it may turn out well, we can do it. Zachin Li'adam Shlo B'fanav has to be B'tayres Vaday and not B'tayres Safek. And if, of course, there's never an absolute Vaday, you don't know what the future is, but if the child, the Chatchila, is not going to be raised in a religious environment, then we can't automatically say it's a zechus gomor to be machnesim to Klal Yisrael. Because if he's a goy, he can keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and he can get Olam Haba. Now you're machnesim where he'll be chayav for different aveiros and the like. So good, maybe on some level it is a zechus, but maybe it's not a zechus. If it's maybe, maybe, that's not enough of a reason to say Zochin liyadim shlo b'fanim. Moreover, Rav Moshe says, even if you were to argue that b'di'evit the geiris would be chal, but b'chatchila we shouldn't be machnis a child into that. It's not good for the child. So most rabbanim, I think most rabbanim, although it's not, around 70%, I would say, follow Rav Moshe's guidelines, and they will generally not do a geiris on a katan unless the child will be raised in a frum way. But here is where it gets tricky. The issue is not technically how religious the parents are. In other words, let's say, for example, the parents sometimes eat non-kosher outside of the home. The issue simply is the way the child is going to be raised make it likely that he will grow up to be a Shomer Shabbos Yid. So some Rabbanim, therefore, are kind of selective. They'll say big three. If the parents will keep Shabbos, and the parents will keep Kashrus, and the parents agree to give the child an Orthodox chinuch in a day school and a high school afterwards, then even if the parents themselves are not always so zoyer, even in Taras HaMishpacha, which is not nogeya the child, some Rabbanim are willing to allow that to be enough of a umdana that the child will be raised kahalacha, and therefore will treat it as a zechus. Others are more machmir and say, oh, we'll only do it for a frum couple. We're not going to do it for a non-frum couple, because first of all, who says they'll live up to their promises? Which also happens, they make promises. I'll send my kid to a day school, even if it's a modern co-ed day school, and then when the kid,
$1,000,
then the kid's in second grade, it costs too much money, too expensive, I'm going to go to free public school. So it happens a lot that people either deliberately lie or change their minds and the like. So again, as I say, there are some rabbanim based on some poskim who actually say, we don't care if the kid's from at all. We just follow the rule of Zachan Adam Shlom B'Fadav, being a Yid is a Zechus. But Rav Moshe says it's a Chalila to be Seimech on such a thing. So Rabbanim do have to have assurances. But as I say, it's very, very tricky. You have to understand, and again, hopefully you won't have these pressures. And I didn't have those pressures either. But in a lot of shuls, especially where a rabbi is dependent on the shul, he doesn't have another job, he's dependent on the shul's salary. So sometimes you're going to have a situation where the president of your synagogue, who's a big, powerful, rich businessman, who, his non-religious son-in-law and daughter adopted a kid, and they want you, or he wants you, to convert the kid. Now, sometimes they're not from at all. Other times they'll from, and they'll, or not from, they're somewhat Orthodox or something. But they're not going to necessarily raise the kid.
Rabbi,
such
a, that is when the president's son married a Gentile woman, and they have a child, and says, please convert my grandson.
Yes,
it's my grandson, my flesh and blood, and you're not going to convert them?
Yes, yes, yes. And sometimes, at least in that case, you have something to be Saimechan, because some Rishonim say it's a Zechus Gomer no matter what. But sometimes you're going to have a problem where the president's son wants to marry a guy, and you're told, convert the guy. There's nothing to be samechad. And I'm aware of a rabbi in Baltimore, a very, very, very good rabbi, who lost his job over that. He became kind of a hero in a sense. Baruch Hashem, there are enough from Yidden in Baltimore that were machshev him tremendously for it. But he did. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah. But this was a long time ago. But he basically was told by his president, you convert my daughter-in-law, or you're losing your job. And he lost the job. He refused to do it. Baruch Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem. And you have to be willing to lose your job over things like that. Yeah.
In times of persecution, do you also say it's the child? like during the Holocaust or?
Yeah, well, that is a good question, but it seems that it is as difficult as it is.
Spiritual.
It's a spiritual sechus.
But how's that supposed to mean? To have an umtina that a child would want that.
It's a good shaila. You know, it would be interesting to see if any katanim were discarded during the Holocaust. That would be interesting to see. I don't know. Let me check into it, huh?
It wasn't Mechal.
Yeah, I understand. But the question is, let me check into it. It's an interesting shaila. Okay, so next week, I have one more prat of Geiris next week. We talked about the geiris of adults. We talked about the geiris of children. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about the geiris of pregnant women, fetuses. Because we'll see that there's all sorts of diunim about women converting when they're pregnant.
Who are these women? The case in Toronto when the fellow reached 13, he went basically like Yitzchayim.
Yeah, he wanted to get out of it.
He said, "I don't want to be Jewish," and the parents were like.